Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go.
Ready. This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
We're getting Ricky Skaggs on this show. Remind me? You really don't know Ricky Skaggs.
Jeff Lutz.
Son of the late, great Bob Skaggs.
You're funny.
I'm so funny, it's almost hard to bear.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I am so totally turned on right now, I could
Sounds
spit.
Like a damn monster movie.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting Max Fowler, who's headed out on a two-week vacation. Andrew Fry will be taking over for him. He's sitting over there taking things in today.
He looks good.
Let me just say this, Andrew. Do your damn job. I'm kidding.
What does that even mean?
It was a joke. Do you ever just play
but
along?
Is it funny?
Max, did you like it?
I'll laugh at jokes that are funny.
Andrew, what do you think? Andrew didn't take it personally. We look forward to working with Andrew the next couple of weeks as Max heads to the ocean.
All right, well... Andrew will not talk on the air. He just said that.
What do you mean?
He just said that.
Well, that's fine.
So we can't go back to him in the studio for anything.
I might. And if I do, he'll be a pro and answer me.
No, he won't.
Thanks to the people at Bob and Luigi's in Andover for bringing out some pizza for us before the show today. We really appreciate it. Really good pizza. So we hope you'll be hearing more from Bob and Luigi's.
Wouldn't that be great?
I think it would be. So we looked at our picks. We didn't get to pick Texas-Michigan. We had intended to, but Duda had missed the message on that. So we didn't get to pick it. So I had this idea today. Man, that's a pretty good game to pick. How would we do it? Well, what we've decided to do is throw that game in there, and you get to pick it, but you pick it for from 1 to 10 points. And you could lose that many points. So if you,
sure
you miss
could.
The game, you lose that many points.
And it's still against the spread.
Yes. So the spread is 6.5 in favor of Texas. And, Jeff, who are you picking in that one?
I picked Texas.
And for how many points?
If it was... not a scenario where I would lose points. Obviously, I'd go 10. But it is, and I don't want to lose that many points, so I put it right in the middle. I'm really confident about this game, but I also...
So is there any game you'd go 10 on?
That's a good question.
As we get later in the year, people will start to do weird things.
You never know. But yeah, that's
especially
very
those
plausible.
Of you who are always trailing.
But I went with Texas. I think Texas is far better than Michigan this year. That game is at the Big House in Ann Arbor, so give whatever advantage you feel is necessary to the Wolverines.
All right,
I'll
just wanted
Texas
your pick.
For
Max,
five.
What about you?
Yeah, I'm with Jeff. I'm going Texas. New coach in Michigan, new quarterback. Too much turnover. Texas for four, so I'll lose or gain four.
I like Texas more than both of you. I'm willing to put more on it, although just I'm going Texas for seven, as is the big fella Anthony. He's picking Texas for seven. Now, remember, the new twist here is if you don't get it right, you lose that number of points.
That's correct.
And Duda, of course, being Duda, is going Michigan for six.
Strange.
Why? I don't get it.
He overthinks this. It's, to him, these lines that aren't really that dangerous. Texas is going to win this game by a touchdown. I don't know how you could arrive at any other conclusion, but to Duda, it's all about those points. And he overthinks it. And I don't understand why he overthinks it to the degree he does, because I thought he watched sports.
Well, he does watch
and
sports.
And I thought he'd be able to discern, after all these years, which team was better and by how much. And usually,
well,
those things go hand in hand.
He's just not very good at picking games for whatever reason.
It is bizarre.
But he's ahead of me right now, so I don't really have a leg to stand
on. And he ended up with 20, which is very good. But Baltimore for 8?
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore, that game was going to be close.
I picked Baltimore, too, but I picked it for one.
Well, he almost got Baltimore for eight.
Well, there's a lot of almost in betting, and that's why those lines are what they are. But he did not get it.
Boy, you rubbed me the wrong way at times.
Why?
I don't know, just some of the things you say.
Is that sealed?
I'm going back to unknown user.
What does he say?
It's just more support for me.
Tell him to I'll be here after the show. Tell him to bring your ID and we'll hash it out.
Bring your ID.
Yeah,
what does
that mean? I'm not gonna sit here and argue with the unknown anonymous guy. Bring your ID. Let me see who you are. And then
why are you doing that? Because that's one of our very first supporters.
You think
for this
he's not
show.
Enjoying this right now?
No, he hates.
Can you imagine?
Here's what he said to me. Tell your son to shut his mouth.
Yeah, I bet.
No, that's what right here.
Yeah, right off your feed.
Oh my goodness. So much fun.
Why?
The buttons. We talked about it the other day. Max agreed.
I push yours so many as buttons. Easily.
Tonight, Green Bay, Philadelphia. That game on Peacock.
Yep.
Exclusively on Peacock. I got Cardinals to watch. You got Guardians to watch. It gets a little more complex.
Well, I got Guardians late.
Yeah, they don't play till late. But the Cardinals are... I can't give them up, man.
Well, then don't.
How does a guy do it?
Who do they have this weekend?
Seattle at home.
Oh, you should breeze through that.
No, they got good pitching.
They don't hit.
They don't hit, but we don't pitch. So we'll see.
Something's got to give.
Are the Cardinals going to end the year like on a deep? They don't really have a very tough schedule left. Are they going to end the year?
No.
They're two games above 500.
Whatever the question is, the answer.
No, I'm going to ask you. I want your opinion. And I want you to think for once instead of just react, because that's really all you do. You just shoot from the hip. Everything you say is just a scattershot.
Wrong.
So here's their schedule. 3 at home against Seattle. 3 at home against Cincinnati. 3 on the road at Toronto. 4 at home against Pittsburgh. 4 at home against Cleveland. 3 on the road against Colorado. And 3 on the road against San Francisco. They are currently 2 games over 500.
They're going to finish either 2 games under, 1 game under, 500, 1 game over, or 2 games
over. Why would they not have a winning record against this remaining schedule?
It's not that easy of a schedule.
They just faced the toughest part of their
schedule.
The
last time you played Cincinnati, they swept you. They 12-8. Okay.
Against the Brewers, Yankees, Padres, you name it. You know what?
Congratulations.
They just went 12-8 against the Dodgers, Brewers, Twins, Padres, Yankees, Brewers.
Right. And when you're perpetually 500, you're going to go 12-8 in some stretches. You're going to go 8-12 in some stretches. You're never going to get too high. You're never going to get too low. So I'm going to take the first 5-plus months of the season into account and tell you that it's very unlikely that anything's going to change with your baseball team.
What if they stay hot? Are they, you know,
hot?
I mean, they've been fairly hot. Yeah, they've against this group. I mean, these are all teams that are going to be in the playoffs.
Okay, well, they still only come out of it 2 games over 500.
No, they were 12-8.
But they're 2 games over 500 on the season. So I just think that's what they are. And I'm pretty sure that's what you there's 22 games left.
No, I feel like there's some potential
here. They'll probably
here.
Go about 10-12, 11-11, or 12-10. And
what if they go 15-7?
They won't.
Well, what if they do?
Then maybe you're in the playoffs. But again,
I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs.
Won't. Does 86 not get you in the National League?
I don't think so, because the Braves and Mets never lose. But we'll see.
They are playing well. The Braves and Mets I'm talking
right.
about.
I'm a realist, and I'm not playing okay. sitting here at all thinking,
never lose.
Could the Cardinals get into the playoffs? That's not my point. My point is, how many games above 500 could they push? And if they do that, do people...
You and the Cubs...
Are people satisfied to some
no,
degree?
You and the Cubs and the Reds, you're not playing for anything. So... Great. If you go, if you play better,
then why do I watch?
When the season,
why do you watch? Why did you watch the Guardians all those years?
What years?
When they were terrible.
Name the years they were terrible. Since I've been a fan.
Since you've been a fan, every year.
Yeah.
Most years.
Try me. Well, then name some.
I don't know. They've been not very good at times.
A couple times, but for the most part, they've been good. The Manny Acta years were lean. Those were bad. But then they brought in Francona. They've been good ever since. They were good under Eric Wedge for the most part. They were good under Charlie Manuel. They were good under Mike Hargrove.
Well.
So I'm not sitting here celebrating a 500
season. When did you become
season.
A fan?
94.
94. They were 66 and 47. Then they were pretty good for a while, over 500 every year. Until 2003.
They had a good 04.
They weren't very good in 06.
But then they got a good 07. And
they weren't very good from 08 to 2012.
AKA the Manny Acta years, which I said. And then they've been good ever since.
How do you deal with a team that's never won? That's what I'm asking.
We win plenty.
I wish you'd just give me an honest answer.
My fandom of the Cleveland Guardians has been well more positive than negative.
More positive?
I've had far fewer losing seasons than winning seasons. I've been to the playoffs a bunch, and I don't know how the season's going to turn out on September 6th. Does that mean I'm not going to root for them the rest of the year because of what might happen? That's not what fandom is, my friend.
Well, I think you got to root for them. But, you know, we'll see what happens tonight out on the West Coast. And the Royals play a very interesting home series against the Minnesota Twins. And that's one of the few division races in baseball that's still pretty intriguing. Baltimore and the Yankees battling it out in the East. You still got three teams in the hunt in the Central, although Cleveland's had a good week. Seattle still within striking distance of Houston, which has suddenly gone a little cold, but the Astros still with a 4.5-game lead. Then you've got Philadelphia, which is 8 games up on Atlanta and the Mets. Milwaukee, which has wrapped it up in the Central. And it looked like the Padres and Diamondbacks were going to be right there with the Dodgers, but L.A.'s gotten hot.
They've faded a little bit. Still hanging around, but running out of time.
L.A.'s starting to get some healthy pitching back.
We basically know who are going to be the 6 teams representing the American League.
Yamamoto about to come back for the Dodgers.
Whatever.
Walker Buehler's been back. They traded for Flaherty. Gavin Stone's been very good, young guy. So their pitching has
stabilized.
Improved. And I wouldn't want to play them.
No one's doubting the talent.
And you got to play them.
And the success. Everybody has to play them.
Well, you got to play them right now.
We got to play them right now. We're playing them tonight through Sunday.
When the games are the most meaningful.
And then you know what happens? We go play the White Sox. So whatever happens against the Dodgers.
What did we learn on the show yesterday?
We're going to get right.
With Scott Merkin, what did he say?
5-5. I understand the Guardians, for whatever reason, have somehow struggled at times with the White Sox, but that's over. They will not lose a game to the White Sox.
Well, they shouldn't. Is the game? Are those games in Chicago?
I don't know. I don't think so.
See, you don't even. If I was a team that was 5-5 against maybe the worst team,
I'm not looking about where our games with the White Sox are.
I'd be checking out where these games are.
We could play those games on the moon for all I care.
It would mean everything in the world to me.
They're in Chicago.
Well, there you go.
And then 12 of the final 15 games of the season are at home.
Big day of college football tomorrow. You can hear Kansas State Tulane right here on our airwaves on KFH. And then the Chiefs, obviously, will be off until next Sunday when they host the Bengals, another powerhouse from the AFC North. That'll be interesting.
It will.
See what the Cincinnati Bengals can bring.
Bengals?
Bengals. Playing. What's the matter with you?
What do you mean?
What'd you say?
You said Bengals.
Bengals.
You had a real long E there.
The Bengals.
You said Bengals.
The Bengals. See, this is the kind of guy you are.
No.
So last night we wondered why they were calling all these offensive line.
And you were wrong about your
explanation. And I gave you what I thought it was.
Okay.
I didn't know. What am I?
Well, I knew what it was. I'm just not sitting.
I thought it was based on the NFL wanting offensive linemen to not have an advantage.
That is what it is. But you said something about the defense, and it made no sense. I know why.
I just offered an opinion. But here's what you did, and you think I didn't see you. You got on your phone, Google, offensive line. I'm going to prove my dad wrong.
What did I say?
The most important thing to me in the world, in all of life.
What did I say afterward?
The most important. Yeah, I know you didn't say anything.
Nothing.
But the most important thing.
And it wasn't. I don't care about why they're calling the rule. That wasn't my point. My point was, I'm not sitting down to watch this game to watch them call Ronnie Stanley in the backfield by half an inch.
Well,
I don't care.
A point of emphasis, so you better get used to it.
Well, that should end.
But it was interesting to watch you go right to your phone.
No, I didn't care about the rule.
And you didn't think I saw it.
I was on my phone a lot.
I know you. You do this all the time.
No, it's so I knew why the rule was in place, because you can't let the offensive linemen start too far back, and then they're already kind of like ready for the defensive pressure. Obviously, that's the rule.
All I said.
But when you're lining up, I mean, it's a dumb rule if you're going to call it that.
That's all I said.
Right down the line.
We'll take a break. Joanna Chadwick joins us next from Vibe Magazine, as she will every Friday during the high school sports season. We got some big ones tonight in high school football. I like following it. I like getting on my Twitter feed and seeing what's going on. That all begins tonight. Joanna Chadwick next.
KFH.
Here is Joanna Chadwick representing Vite Magazine, one of our great sponsors, the high school football preview, Vite Magazine, sitting here on a table. Very good. Joanna, hello. You're in Kansas City as we speak.
I am. I'm up here with some students at a yearbook conference. So I'll be missing the opening night, but, you know, that's my real job is the teaching portion.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there you go. Let's talk about some of the games of note. Derby on the road at Hayes. Now, that's an interesting game. I'm always curious to see who Derby can schedule in the non-conference. They're going out to play at Hayes, which has had a good program of late in recent years. Is this a dangerous game for the Panthers?
Well, I think any time you go on the road against a team that you haven't played, I mean, I couldn't tell you when Derby played Hayes, but it's been a very long time. And I think anytime you go on the road, it's going to be difficult there. It's going to say an awful lot about when you make that long trek out there. It says a lot. But, you know, this is what Derby does, too, is that, you know, they've started off with some awfully tough games in the past, including Manhattan for the past few years, and don't always win those games, and yet they still end up in the state championship game or playing in the semifinals. So I think having that kind of a test is going to be really important. And I think we're going to find out a lot about this team tonight, because going into this, it was down to Drew Kemp or Aiden Heckathorn as to who is going to be their quarterback. I think we all know Arius Finley will be at RB1. but who was going to run the show, and will they stay with them the whole game, or will they try to give minutes to other guys? I mean, they're kind of loaded at that quarterback position.
So tonight we have Bishop Carroll Northwest in the City League, and we talked to Dusty Trail yesterday, and you have to read between the lines, obviously, but he did not sound as if this would be the year that Carroll gets back to contending for a state championship. So it might be fair to expect another big Northwest win tonight. What are we going to do if that first game of the week, which we get, or the first game of the year, which we get every season, Carroll and Northwest, is no longer the barn burner we expect it to be?
Well, and I mean, it happens. You know, it when you're in football, is that we can usually count on the same teams every year who are going to be strong, but it does happen where there's those downtimes. And frankly, Carroll's numbers have not been what they were in previous years. You know, where they did put out those same kind of numbers that a Derby did, that Andale did, and their numbers are low, and they have a very small senior class this year. But they have a lot of young guys, and I think that it will be exciting just because the rivalry is so awesome. But you've got Northwest, which is going to bring its own exciting brand of football, which we all enjoy watching. So I don't know. I mean, will it not be a barn burner? Okay, but it's still a heck of a rivalry, which makes it painful and exciting all at the same time.
Talking now with Joanna Chadwick, Byte Magazine. So another game that's intriguing to me. Wellington coming to Wichita to play collegiate. Wellington's opens with collegiate and then Andale. They got to work on that schedule making. But they lost to both teams last year pretty soundly. But Jeremiah Meeks turned it around. They had a pretty good season. They did get walloped in the playoffs by Wamego. Can Wellington take that next step? Because that is a tradition-rich program that's not had a lot of success recently. Are they a team that maybe could start to inch up?
Well, and I don't see why not. I mean, I always feel like Wellington is there, you know, and maybe it's just because we know, you know, the tradition of the program. Maybe we understand that and how long they have had a lot of talent through there. But I think that that these two tests will be very good for them and that they will help them later in the season. Because, you know, I mean, losing to Wamego, there's no shame in losing to Wamego. And there's also no shame in struggling with two opponents like this in Collegiate and Andale. Collegiate's going to be tough to beat, though. They are very talented, and they've got guys who are healthy, which I think makes a difference as well. So maybe Wellington won't walk away feeling great after these two games, but I think later it benefits them.
Is Andover Central, we know that Aquinas has moved back up to 5A, so they won't at least have to deal with them in the postseason in the state championship game if they get that far. Is Andover Central that type of team again that can get back to that level? And what do you make of their opener with Hutchinson tonight?
Oh, wow, that's a lot there to unpack. I mean, like 14 things went through my head during your question.
Say them all.
Because, I mean, you're literally talking, okay, yeah, Aquinas is back to 5A, but where's Miege?
I feel you.
Miege is a team that you have to contend with. And what other team just dropped down from 5A? Well, that's Capen. So I don't think life is any easier for Andover Central, which has continually been a team that has battled for a state title. No, they haven't won it. But, yeah, they faced some incredible teams in that process. But that is a team that returns a lot of talent. A lot of those guys I also watched during basketball season last year, too, when they weren't supposed to be very good. And yet these guys are gamers. They're dogs. And so I would imagine that Andover Central will push to get back into that title game. But it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, Andover Central at Hutch, as Jeff said, that's one of the big interesting games of the year. That Andover Central, their offense with Jace Jefferson has to be, I think you have to consider him, if not the top quarterback in the area, certainly in that discussion. And that offense overall is dynamic. I hope they can find a way. You know, it is tough with Bishop Miege up there, but we'll see. What do you make of Capen Mount Carmel dropping to 4A? It's just kind of weird to me. It's strange that their enrollment has fallen to that level. We had Weston Sharts on a little earlier. Do you think they've got another team that can threaten?
Well, let me ask you this question, and I don't actually know the answer. Is it that their enrollment has dropped, or is it that there's so much growth in the northeast part of the state that there's just not enough room for them in 5A anymore?
That may be it.
Yeah, and that's what I assume it to be. But again, I don't actually know the answer to that. It is weird having them in 4A, and I do think that they're going to be a contender because they continually play teams that with bigger populations than them. And I think that obviously Weston Sharp is one of the best coaches in the state. I think that they will contend, but you know, you also have some sort of drop off from the talent that they did graduate. So it'll be interesting to see who pops up there as to, you know, the players that we're going to be talking about going forward. But yeah, they drop into 4A and immediately they're a team that we have to talk about will play for a state title.
I have my eye on Cheney Holcomb, not because I think Cheney will lose, but I think when you're that good and as good as Cheney is and a lot of other teams in the state, you just have so few games where you'll really learn anything about what they have. And Holcomb is a team that usually, you know, wins a playoff game or two and kind of hangs around. Is that anything? Is that a game?
Why not? I mean, I'm with you, Jeff. I will look for any time that you can have a matchup that is even going to push a team. And I bet you know darn well that's what every coach is doing, is that how is this team going to push us? And I talked to a coach this year, and it escapes me as to who it was. But we talked about how every game is so different. The different types of offenses that we see out there now, I mean, you're constantly having to change your defense and have your guys prepared for every game. There's so much versatility that is necessary on teams just because they're not able to, you know, you're not facing, everybody's not doing the exact same thing in every single game. And so when you see a team that's going to push you, you know it's going to help you down the line. And so you have to get your team ready to be able to handle that not only now, but how are they going to handle it down the line?
Joanna Chadwick with us. We're visiting about high school football. Let's talk about Conway Springs, which, by the way, won a state championship last year under Matt Beeler. They play in a league that includes Garden Plain, Medicine Lodge, both teams that have very high hopes. That Central Plains League just continues to be impressive to me. And Conway Springs has done this now for a long, long time. Matt Beeler deserves credit as one of the area's best coaches.
Well, and let's keep in mind that in those years where they ran off all those state championships in 3A, and then continually as their population dropped there, and yet there doesn't matter what level they're at, they're still continuing to be one of the top programs in where in the league and in whatever class they're playing in. And I think that sort of, I'm using this word again, but versatility is really important to note because Conway has had to adjust to that, is seeing these new opponents, is seeing the different level of what they're going to have to, and then you get used to playing teams and now you don't play them anymore. But I think playing in a league like the Central Plains also really forces you to prepare yourself for a variety of offenses and defenses as well. And then Garden Plain, you know, they come away last night with a big win, which is always good to see. And just kind of going to show us that, yeah, they're a team we're going to have to watch too.
Well, it's always good to catch up with you. We will be back in touch next week, and we expect you to be at a game next week. Okay, Joanna?
I will be at Derby next week, I promise.
Derby campus? Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, again, my love for football connected to yearbook and newspaper advisor.
Thank you, Joanna.
Bye, guys.
All right, there you go. Joanna Chadwick with us each and every Friday. The IHOP hotline, which is 869-1240, as you know, sponsored by IHOP. You can visit IHOP and get all-you-can-eat pancakes through the 15th of this month, so still 9 days left in that promotion. Also, all the baseball and football coverage you hear on KFH is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Horizon. Use our savings calculator to find out how at tmobile.com/ switch. Now, that's a promo.
What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. I thought I did that well.
Yeah, he said Horizon instead of Horizon, but yes. Other
Horizon, Horizon. I'll take whatever I can get. See, that's you.
Yeah, it is.
Why are you like that?
Well, I had to bring you down a peg because you were a little, you're feeling yourself a little too much right there.
If I want it to be Horizon.
It could be Horizon, sure. I bet they don't have great service.
I don't have Verizon.
I do.
I have AT&T.
I have Horizon, and they do great.
Maybe I'll switch to
T-Mobile,
whatever it's called. I still haven't fixed my screen.
Why not?
I don't think it's the screen. I think it's the covering.
We already debunked that.
So you think I should take it to that store out on Mays Road?
If you want, I don't. It's your phone. You can do whatever you want.
What do you got planned for the weekend?
The kid's coming home. I don't know what we're going to do.
What are you going to do tonight?
Tonight? Probably just hang out.
Won't she be home tonight?
Yeah, but we won't go do anything. Or...
That's because you are so tied into, well, I got to watch SmackDown. I got to watch The Guardian.
I don't know if I'm going to watch SmackDown.
I gotta, instead of taking the kid out.
Well, I invited the kid out to lunch today. She said, now I'm going to take a nap instead.
Well, what does that tell you?
I don't know.
What do you think it tells you? It
tells me she's tired, I guess.
Where would you have taken her to lunch?
Over to Yokohama.
Where's that?
Central and Woodlawn.
What, do they have great rice or something?
They have ramen. And I tried some ramen that I never would have ordered. I just, like, I'm not going to do the usual. And it was so good.
What was it?
It had, like, shrimp pot stickers in it and corn. It was just... unbelievable.
I don't know if I'd like this.
And now I'm going to try another one someday.
Well, I don't know if I'd like that.
So good.
Shrimp?
Shrimp pot stickers. I don't know if they were. It's weird.
What is that?
It's a pot sticker that I guess was supposed to be shrimp flavored. I'm not sure.
Well, what else do they have?
They have all kinds of ramen. And they have rice.
They have some chicken ramen?
Well, yeah. They have, if you can, I assume, get just about whatever you want.
Well, if I went there, what would I order?
Well, the ramen is the noodles.
What would I say? I want some chicken ramen?
Well, you'd find something on the menu that appealed to you, and you'd order that.
But what would I say at the counter?
There's no counter. Sit-down place. What's so funny?
Man, sometimes I get caught up in all this.
Oh, Yokohama, I was a fan.
It's just enjoyable to play along.
Absolutely.
And it's at Central and Woodlawn.
Yes.
So kind of on my way home.
Could be.
You know what I'm hooked on now.
You can't really order takeout from there because it's difficult.
Really?
You can't really see what you're getting. It doesn't really explain what the dishes are. It's really a go-in place. Unless you're a veteran and you already know what you're getting. But I didn't. So I had to figure it out.
You know what I'm hooked on now? One of the salads at Doc Green's, the Ranchero.
What's that got?
It's kind of a barbecue chicken and some, Mexican stuff, corn and black beans and salsa, although not really salsa. I get Dorothy Lynch dressing on mine.
What's that?
It's kind of like French dressing.
Hmm.
But I'm salivating just thinking about it.
You going with that this evening?
I don't think so. But I like it quite a bit.
What will you go with this evening?
I don't know what I'll go with this evening.
I don't either. I got a couple meals from Dinnerly still hanging in the balance.
Have to get home and see what my wife thinks.
Tomorrow's box from Dinnerly, unbelievable. Can't wait to make that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I would hope you'd do something with your daughter this weekend.
Well, I'm talking about next week when I'm making, I'll be working a lot. But we'll see how it goes.
Final Wind Surge series of the year.
Correct.
Next week at Riverfront Stadium. And that'll be it because they're not going to be in the playoffs for the first time.
Well, they didn't make it last year. They missed it by a game.
Oh, they
didn't? No.
Thought they did.
Well, now that you say it, it seems like maybe they did, but I'm 98% sure that they didn't.
I could have sworn they did.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, you might.
Maybe Tim Grubbs is listening and will let us know. But I'm pretty sure they didn't because they lost all their players. They kind of made a run, and then it ended up a game or two short. That's how I remember it. But, you know, my memory is nothing.
I just got followed by someone on Twitter. Don't know who it is. Some person, probably a robot. They say they're from Oregon, Ohio. Have you ever heard of Oregon, Ohio?
I sure haven't.
And their tagline says, "My marriage has been hell for the past 8 months."
That's too bad.
Thoughts?
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Maybe he's from Oregon and Ohio. But there is an Oregon, Ohio population, nearly 20,000. Who knew?
Wow.
Out in, it's on Lake Erie, out in Lucas County, suburb of Toledo.
Have we lost all concept and ability to control social media?
I don't know what you're asking me.
Well, that.
But I don't understand the question.
Have we lost our ability to control it? Because none of these people that follow me or anybody are real. A few are, but not really. I mean, it's all just a bunch of...
Yeah, most of you get the spam accounts. That's kind of what happens since Elon took over.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Twitter is no fun. I don't even know why I have my guards Twitter account.
Why do I have
that
Twitter?
That just makes me upset, too.
Here I go. Max doesn't have it. He's living a great life.
One of the best. He's headed to
California.
Going
to the ocean. Here I am. I'm so hooked on it, I can't hardly breathe.
I get it. But what are you? What
I'm
is
not,
it?
And I'm not at a. I'm not an addict. I've not been hooked on things.
Well, is that
for
true?
The most part? Yes, that's true.
I'll have to think about that.
Well, go ahead. What's something you think I've been hooked on?
I'm not sure, but I think there's maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe it's not something a vice like it's bad. You addicted to whatever working hard. Well, I don't know.
I like to work, but I don't think I'm addicted to it.
I don't think you are either. I was just throwing that out as an example of maybe something that, you know, isn't going to put you in rehab.
I've never been addicted to alcohol. I've certainly drank my fair share.
You came close to the edge a couple times on that one, didn't you?
Never addicted. Never addicted to any kind of tobacco product or any kind of drug.
Same.
But I feel like there's a near addiction to Twitter.
You got to have your fix.
I got to do something about it.
What are you going to do, quit cold turkey? I don't think that's going to work.
This told me I was on my phone for 6.5 hours a day average last week.
Craziness.
What's going on with that?
That's like half the time you're awake at least.
So what's going on with that?
I don't know.
How much are you? You're on your phone more than I am.
I don't let it tell me how much I'm on my phone, so I don't have to feel terrible
about
myself.
It tells me every Sunday morning.
I'd turn that off. But that's just me.
Here's your report for the week. It ought to just say, you idiot, get off your phone.
6.5 hours. Goodness.
I'm not denying it.
That adds up, man. Those 30-second scrolls you do through whatever social media thing.
You're on your phone more than me.
Nah.
Completely.
I'm going to burn my phone. How about that?
All right. We appreciate all of you for listening. Max will be out the next couple of weeks. We wish him a great time away. He doesn't take much time away, so we hope he has a good time. We'll be back here on Monday. Have a good weekend.